And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning to you. Welcome along to the show. 5 minutes past nine, just turning on this Wednesday. It's the 9th of July. How are you all keeping? I do hope you're very well indeed. Right across the northwest of our beautiful country or wherever you are listening to us around the world. And we want you involved in the show. By the way, you might not get a vote in the elections, but you can certainly get an opinion on the airwaves here in Ireland. So if you are listening from outside the Republic, 00353 8660 25000, that's the WhatsApp and text number, 0866 20 5000, or indeed give us a call, 00353 749 1 25000, or from inside the Republic, 0749 1 25000, and from space, Mars, wherever you are, comments@highlandradio.com. that is the email, and we've got a packed show for you as always here on the 9 till noon show, and we want your views, your comments, your stories, pass them on to us. And of course, after 10 o'clock too, and I'm not saying it's not a dictatorship here, we can do requests at any stage, of course, but we do tend to find ourselves playing requests for people just after the 10 o'clock news. So if you have someone special in your life, you want to say hello to them, maybe they're celebrating a special anniversary or birthday, feel free to get in touch with us right now, and we'll group them in for our birthday roll call just after 10 o'clock. That's the same contacts, WhatsApp text, 086 60 25000. The Finn Valley Voice is available to us this morning. The constituency office of Charles Ward, a Drumkeen homeowner with defective blocks, was officially opened in Ballybuffet on Friday morning. Deputy Ward's four children, Charlie, Anna Rose, Beth and Shamie, officially cut the ribbon to mark the opening of the new constituency office. It's a big deal, really, because it's the first constituency office set up by the 100% Redress Party politician and the party itself, I suppose. On to the Nationals now, and you heard Donal reference this in the news. Almost one in four women who require an urgent appointment at a breast cancer clinic are not seen within the target time frame, new figures show. The Irish Cancer Society published new data today showing delays in access to testing and treatment of cancer in the state. Now, just to be clear, there can be sort of the same or similar information that it seems like we're repeating. The Journal did a dive on the figures themselves, and that's what we were talking about earlier in the week, and we were seeking the Irish Cancer Society to comment on that, but they had their own set of figures coming out, and this is what's out today. The Irish Cancer Society published new data today showing delays in access to testing and treatment of cancer in the state. The urgent symptomatic breast disease clinics aim to see 95% of patients within 10 working days. However, between March 24 and February 2025, only 76.3% of patients received their appointments within the recommended time frame. That's an average. So 95% of patients should be seen within 10 working days. This is critical to people's the success of their treatment, or indeed in some cases whether it's life or death. And I hate to be that harsh and talk in those terms, but this is why it's so important people get very fast access to cancer treatment. So there was also significant variations between hospitals. The lowest compliance was found at the Mater in Dublin, just 28.9% of patients seen in this time frame. But to Letterkenny University Hospital, where we've ongoing problems, 59.8%. So 95% is the target. The national average, 76.3%. But in Donegal, only 59.8% of people started their treatment within 10 days. Let me see, is it actually see the urgent symptomatic breast disease clinics aim to see 95% of patients within 10 working days. Sorry, so that's actually see them. So you can imagine if you are going through that, you have been referred, you trust those referring you, and you want to get sorted as soon as possible. You're going to miss your targets in Donegal more than you are on the national average, and that is a concern. Also in the paper today, a big rise in self-generated child abuse material. This is an important story because this is where I think we have a big role as parents here, because what I'm going to be reading out here, and my apologies to any younger ears that are listening, is the biggest provider of child abuse images, nude images of children, inappropriate images of children are not are actually now being generated by the children themselves, the young people themselves. So I think it's something really we need to make sure we talk to our young people about, so they understand the consequences of it, that people might sort of, you know, try and coerce them, either with threats or love bombing them to share these types of images. And then they find themselves on the internet, and it's highly illegal, but also it's problematic because stuff on the internet is there forever. And I don't think this is one we can necessarily rely on IT companies, the state, Snapchat, whoever it might be. I think we as mums and dads, or any combination of the same, need to be sort of having a conversation early on about, you know, don't take compromising pictures of yourself because they end up in a cloud, and certainly don't send them to anybody else. But self-generated content was the most prevalent form of child sex abuse material in Ireland, accounting for a quarter of cases reported last year. The term self-generated indicates when material is most likely to have been created by the child depicted, such as photography sent voluntarily or due to coercion. Data published by hotline.ie, the Irish internet hotline, today points to a self-generated content crisis with 116% increase in such material during 2024. Hotline is Ireland's reporting platform for illegal online content. Now, I don't buy that the majority of this material has been created by children. I think that's the data that they have access to, but I don't think that is the case. That being said, hotline.ie's annual report revealed that 11,505 submissions made to its portal for reporting illegal online material were of self-generated material. So we're going to be talking about that a little later on. And as I say, we need to be sort of saying, don't be taking pictures of yourself, don't be sending them to anyone, because it's a big problem in this country. And as I say, it's so important. We're going to be talking to the people behind that report very soon on the show, so stay tuned for that. Dodgy boxes, I think they're seen as a victimless crime. The GEA is giving out today about the loss of revenue because people are using, you know, Fire Sticks or whatever form of illegal streaming, Android devices, you know yourself. And I don't think really people are too bothered that the GEA are going to be giving out about this. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I'm just saying people see streaming as a sort of victimless crime, getting one over the big boys, be it Sky or the GEA, you know, the Grab All Association or whatever way you want to. And as I say, I'm not in any way justifying it, but you're not going to guilt people or scare people into stop doing it, I don't think. But anyway, the GEA has called for stronger laws to tackle the use of illegal dodgy boxes, which the organisation said is reducing its online streaming earning power by as much as 40%. Noel Quinn, the head of streaming services at GEA Plus, said privacy is crippling, or piracy is crippling, the amount of money being taken in by the online platform. GEA Plus bought out RTE's 50% share of the streaming service in February of this year, but Mr. Quinn would not be drawn on how much it was sold for when questioned at an Oireachtas committee yesterday evening. The committee heard there are upwards of 400,000 so-called dodgy boxes in Ireland, which both GEA Plus and League of Ireland TV, the League of Ireland streaming service, said are severely hampering their ability to grow their games. I would say, again, I could be wrong, people might be more sympathetic to the League of Ireland than the GEA. But anyway, that's it. And you've seen an awful lot of articles lately kind of trying to scare people into not using them. It's kind of questionable what element of it is. Is it illegal to actually stream if you don't download? Is it certainly legal to sell the streams? I don't know. I have my concerns, and this is in the Irish Sun, I have my concerns that, you know, when we were reaching the tipping point where we fell into recession here in this country, I'm starting to see an awful lot of stuff that we were seeing just in the lead up to that, you know, high percentage mortgages, playing with planning laws. And there's, I mean, what we ended up with is defective concrete blocks. We ended up with poxy, damp accommodation. We ended up with the pyrite scandal. I think it's very important in our rush to provide housing and cut corners or change legislation that we don't find ourselves taking our eye off the ball and finding ourselves with another defective concrete block issue or something similar in 10 or 20 years. But it just feels that that's the space we're in, that we're so desperate for housing that we're prepared to do anything, even if it's the wrong thing. Renters will have to pay $3,000 a month for dark shoeboxes following a rule change to shrink the minimum size of apartments, it's claimed. The government has been accused of bending over backwards to entice developers to get back to building apartment blocks. It comes as the housing minister yesterday dropped rules around the standard of homes that can be built in Ireland. Minister James Brown issued new guidelines which reduced the minimum size for a studio apartment from 37 square metres down to 32 square metres and scrapped a rule where only 50% of a development could be one bed or studio apartment. So, you know, everything we're doing to try and attract developers and to try and attract building in this country is actually, there's very little in it, or seems very little in it for Donegal. Who's going to be building a load of tiny apartments here in Donegal? It's not going to happen, is it? Maybe one might pop up in Letterkenny, but it's not going to ease the housing crisis. What is being done to sort of get more regular housing into the market? But again, I would be concerned that when we start sort of playing fast and loose with planning laws and regulations, we end up with defective concrete block scandals, and I certainly hope that that is not the case. The Star tells us that institutions and religious orders involved in historical sex abuse in schools will be held accountable for the awful crimes, the education minister has vowed. The government approved the establishment of a commission of investigation chaired by Mr Justice Michael McGrath. Education Minister Helen McEntee, who outlined the details of the commission of investigation, said that any redress scheme would have to be funded by the religious orders and organisations. The issue of sexual abuse at schools across Ireland was exposed in November 2022 by brothers David and Mark Ryan. Mark has since sadly passed away. And finally, in the Irish Daily Mirror, Donald Trump is said to be worried that socialite Ghislaine Maxwell may reveal details of his past ties to Jeffrey Epstein. Sources say the president grew increasingly concerned before his Department of Justice decided to close its probe into the disgraced financier without changing or without charging any of the high-profile associates. The abrupt announcement that the FBI inquiry had concluded came just weeks after Elon Musk named Mr. Trump as appearing in the Epstein files. But sources said that behind closed doors, it sparked fresh panic in Trump's camp, and it's driven a massive wedge through MAGA in the United States. MAGA would be the sort of collective movement behind Donald Trump, because for years, he and other leading people in MAGA had said that there were very high-profile people, that Jeffrey Epstein were trafficking young girls to an island for their to be abused by these high-profile figures. And they said they're going to expose it. It's crazy what's going on. People need to be held accountable. And then now all of a sudden, the very people that were calling for it say there's nothing to see here. Move along. There's no list. There's no blackmail. There's no nothing, which is really quite concerning. And then, you know, people now think Elon Musk is this hero, this savior of it all. He's naming people left, right and center who was on the list. He says that Steve Bannon, a very close associate of Donald Trump, was on the list. Donald Trump himself was on the list. So has he seen the list? Is no one asking Elon Musk, well, how did you see the list? Well, where is this list? If you know names that are on the list, have you got the list? Why don't you publish the list? But instead he's dropping little names here and there. Very, very strange. But his supporters, like it seems, lots of people that support people regardless, don't seem to want to ask him those questions. How does he know so much about the list? And if he's got the list, as he's able to name people off it or he's seen it, why doesn't he publish it himself? But anyway, it is what it is. Very unfortunate. It seems to be that you can abuse women and children and men, of course, and just get away with it if you're high enough profile and you can just cover it up and hope that it goes away. That seems to be the world we're living in now, very sadly. 086 60 25,000. Any views on any of that, please get in touch or give us a call on 07491 25,000.
Daily newspapers are courtesy of Cosgrove Centra and Diner, Mountaintop, Letterkenny. The 9 till noon show, proudly sponsored by the award-winning Lennon Festival, Ramelton. Now in full swing. This weekend, catch headline acts. Honour, Queen Tribute, Tumbling Paddies and ABBA Sensations. For tickets, search Lennon Festival on Eventbrite.
Foster carers are urgently needed in Donegal. If you have space in your heart and home, you could change a child's life. contact Orchard Fostering today on 074 9706 109, or visit orchardfostering.ie, because every child deserves a safe and loving home.
Imagine this, toes in the sand at Old Head Beach, the thrill of zip lining at Westport Adventure, wandering colourful streets, ice cream in hand, sailing across the calm waters of Clew Bay, the wind in your hair on the Great Western Greenway. Westport, find your own adventure at destinationwestport.com.
TFI Local Link operates evening and weekend services throughout rural Ireland to help you stay connected 7 days a week. We know life doesn't just happen 9 to 5. So if you're commuting, shopping, visiting family, or going out in the evenings or on the weekends, let TFI Local Link take you there. Visit transportforireland.ie. We're serving up summer at Dunn Stores, and it's barbecue season. Mix and match 3 for €10 across a fantastic range of meat and fish. Try something vibrant like succulent king prawns. Or enjoy Bord Bia quality assured meats like Piri Piri chicken wings or new hot honey pork belly slices and many more. Any 3 for just €10. Plus, save at the till with a 10 or 50 grocery voucher. Dunn Stores. Always better value. Terms and conditions apply. Voucher can be used on next grocery shop of €50 or more.
Oakfest 2025 returns to Oakfield Park this September 6th and 7th. 2 days, 2 stages, 1 unforgettable weekend. Enjoy live music, incredible food and drink, and glamping under the stars, all in one of Ireland's most spectacular settings. Saturday, live and original, featuring Wet Wet Wet, Boney M, Racy, and the Whistlin' Donkeys. Sunday, Legends Reimagined, with tribute performances to the Eagles, Blondie, Springsteen, and more. Tickets are going fast. Get yours now at oakfieldpark.com.
Highland Radio Time Checks, brought to you by Airgrid, the operator and developer of Ireland's electricity grid. Airgrid, powering up communities, powering up Ireland. The time is?
The time now is 21 minutes past nine. We welcome on to the programme Mick Moran, CEO of Irish Internet Hotline. Mick, thanks so much for your time. I really do appreciate it.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Right, I was just reading there in a quick run-through of the papers, a major increase last year in the levels of self-generated child sexual abuse material appearing online. So what's the Irish Internet Hotline's role in sort of identifying this? And talk to me a little bit about sort of the numbers we're discussing here.
Well, very important to make the point that self-generated material is a label that we put on child sexual abuse material that meets the legal standard for child sexual abuse and child pornography under the Child Trafficking and Pornography Act of 1998. And we put that self-generated thing because we assess it to have been made by the child themselves. It is in no way blaming them. It's in no way casting any aspersions on the child. And we're seeing this massive increase in it, which is very worrying because the vast majority of the kids in these images are preteen kids. And the guards and other police forces around Europe and everywhere else are seeing this increase. What's happening is the kids are mimicking, in most cases, the kids are mimicking what they're seeing online in music videos, maybe in pornography, maybe what they're seeing in the home. And they're mimicking that, which meets the threshold and the standard for child sexual abuse material. And what's really tough about self-generated stuff is that, and it's interesting because I hear Tuslar going out with their report, their annual report this year as well. Each of these cases where we assess that this is an Irish child or whatever, when I say we, I mean on Garda Síochána, they're obliged to report it to Tuslar. That means family intervention. It means people calling the guards and the social workers calling to the house. And in the vast majority of cases, it's just kids who have been given unfettered access to the internet, who've been let loose, essentially, online. And I've always said it, and I'll say it again, if you're giving your 7-year-old child a mobile phone that has 24/7 unfettered access to the internet, you are giving the world through the internet access to your 7-year-old child.
Yeah, it is. It is something we have to factor in because, you know, I've made the analogy in the past, you wouldn't go into the biggest shopping center in the country or any country in the middle of Brazil or Germany or wherever, and, you know, dress your child you know, in inappropriate clothing and allow them to wander through and interact with the public. You simply wouldn't. But that is, unfortunately, what we are doing with mobile phones. Yeah. Go ahead, yes, Mick.
No, I was just going to say, like, what happens to these videos then is that people with a sexual interest in children collate these images and movies. They collate them, they download them, they screen grab them, they collate them, and they share them in their closed groups on the deep web and on the web itself. And that's one of the unfortunate things we're seeing is that it is very simple to automate the putting up of a forum on a web server. And if you host it with a bulletproof hoster, that's a hosting company who won't respond to the guards or won't respond to law enforcement. If you put that website up there and we ask them to take it down, they won't respond to us either. And the result is that it stays up there longer than we would expect. And we're always keen to try and get these forums taken down, but it turns into a whack-a-mole situation. And these people who have a sexual interest in children are out there, they're harvesting this material from the internet. So your child naively puts up a video of themselves imitating, I don't know, some pop star, shaking it all out. And then these guys are there who have a sexual interest in children are then using that material to titillate and to, let's face it, to masturbate and to become aroused. And that sharing of it then means is where you get this nightmare scenario of the internet never forgetting.
Yeah, and also and to, you know, like, and we'll talk about images that are taken and shared, but what they're doing is harvesting and reposting this stuff. So you can't look at it and go, it's only messing about. Unfortunately, we do have to consider the terrible motivations of some people. And I think it would be unimaginable for anyone listening to this show to think that might happen. But Mick, we know it is happening. And it may well have happened, and that sounds shocking. And I know the language you used was somewhat graphic, but I think it's important that we understand what the end game of this is. You can't sugarcoat it.
You cannot sugarcoat this. You cannot sugarcoat that essentially true. Look, I'm going to call it out. True negligence by parents who are allowing their kids this full time access, especially in bedrooms late at night. The kids are just naturally doing what kids do, and they don't understand the implications of their online activity and the implications for that in the real world. And we're seeing it. This is why our figures are so out through the roof this year. We're seeing it. Law enforcement are seeing it. And Garda Síochána are seeing it. The PSNI are seeing it. And it's just so easy to prevent. That's the point I'm trying to make. It is just so easy to prevent.
Mm. Now, and as well, you see, the thing about it is even the younger kids as well, they've got private pages. You know, they've got a public page and a private page. And you know, if you're 18, 19, 20, say, for instance, in terms of Snapchat, you've got a private story, you've got a public story, that's fine. Maybe you don't want your mom and dad necessarily seeing what you're up to, right? Because it's not nefarious as such. But, you know, you say, like, if you've got a 12-year-old with a public and a private channel, you're going to have to ask yourself, why in God's name is that, or even younger? So that stuff that might innocently, in inverted commas, being taken and being posted and then harvested and repurposed by perverts, there's obviously going to be self-taken images. And I presume it's a mixture of, you know, those being coerced into taking and sending images, or perhaps those that are love-bombed into doing so. But once they're sent, they're sent.
That's it. And it is very true that there is coercion out there too. We have seen an increase in sexual extortion activities. We had that McCartney case there in Newry, and there's been plenty of others down south. Like, things are just, there is a wave. We'll see it in our report next year. There's a wave of sexual extortion out there. And here's an interesting fact for you. Of the sexual extortion victims who have contacted Hotline in an effort to have their movies and images taken down, 83% of them are boys and men.
Yeah.
And that's a reversal on the self-generated stuff we're seeing is mostly girls. The people being trapped in sextortion scams are boys, And it's coming through, the initial contact is being made on gaming platforms, on the consoles. And this is another nightmare for parents to consider. And look, let me say before I go any further that there's absolutely plenty of resources out there. If you find yourself trapped into this, don't be worrying. You're not alone. But for God's sake, lads, cop yourself on. There's a very famous rule on the internet, rule number 30. There are no girls on the internet in the sense that want to do things with you on video. And I would say to you, if you're going to engage in a bit of sexy time with somebody online, well, make sure it's somebody you know, at least. Because otherwise you're going to fall into these sexual extortion traps. You'll end up paying money out and you'll be living this nightmare of the threat that all this intimate stuff of you is going to be shared with all your friends and your network.
Well, of course, and also I'm sure we'll probably never know. There are people that felt they couldn't live with that any longer. But you can always get help, and you should reach out, by the way. It's very important to mention. Mick Moran, thanks for so much of your time. I do appreciate it. Thanks for your contribution.
No problem. Thanks for talking. Bye. No,
all right, bye-bye. That's Mick Moran, CEO of Irish Internet Hotline. Minister Patrick O'Donovan, Minister for Culture, Communication and Sports, with me now as well. Good morning, Minister. Thanks for your time.
Good morning, and good morning to your listeners.
And, funny enough, we're talking about broadband and the amazing advances and how it can sort of, open up life and business and rural Ireland. And the flip side of it is horrible people around the world exploiting our young people on it. But anyway, we'll talk about the positives for the moment. The National Broadband Plan, how is progress going in terms of the rollout, Patrick?
Yeah, so look, the progress is really, really good. The total government investment so far is over 2 billion. The total number of premises that have national broadband available to them now is available to pre-order is over 400,000. And in Donegal, for instance, enormous investment of 128 million. The total number of premises that are going to be covered by the plan is 104,000. These are massive numbers. That's the total number of premises in the county, and the total number of premises that are available for what they call order and pre-order in County Donegal is 23,000. So, look, we've already seen almost 5,000 connections in County Donegal. We're going to see more, and the investment is really, to be quite honest about it, has been transformative. I come from a rural area myself, and I know particularly during COVID, it was a lifesaver in terms of being able to work, educate your children, being able to communicate with the outside world, and being able to maintain rural communities. The government, the previous government decided to make this investment. It is a massive investment into rural Ireland. A lot of people criticised it at the time. Some very high-profile politicians and some very high-profile civil servants criticised it, but it has been absolutely transformative for the people who have been connected. And we know that there are thousands more that are going to be connected and that will avail of this.
Are you satisfied those responsible aren't just picking the handy jobs to make the figures look good? Because we want to make sure that people even in the most remote areas have equal access.
Well, if you saw where I went this morning, you could not possibly come up with the comment handy job, because I'm on the largest offshore island in Ireland, in Achill, which I don't think you would say is anything other than remote. It proof positive that this is anything other than a handy job. This is the reason we're doing this, is because these are the areas that nobody from a commercial point of view was going to touch these areas without the government's investment. So this is on track, it's on target, it's on budget. It's one of the largest infrastructural projects that we have seen in the country since rural electrification. I don't hear any opposition TDs roaring and shouting about the great success that it is, because it's a good news story, and why would they? But it is important, I think, for listeners in County Donegal and elsewhere to recognise that this is a massive government investment into rural communities like the one that I represent in West Limerick, and has been transformative for people all over the country. Mm-hmm. It's not that long ago that your show and every show on commercial radio stations up and down the country was dominated by the absence of broadband. I haven't heard that being mentioned for youngs. and we probably won't, because Ireland is going to become a European and a world leader now in terms of access to high-speed fibre broadband, thanks to the government's intervention, thanks to the decision we made as a government, and thanks to the investment that we're making in places like County Donegal.
All right, thanks for that. That's Minister Patrick O'Donovan, Minister for Culture, Communications and Sport. Good morning. 086 60 25,000 is the WhatsApp and text number. 086 60 25,000, or give us a call on 07491 25,000. I'm not sure if it's just this building, but it's feeling quite warm in this studio. Are we starting to see those temperatures increase, I do wonder. Very shortly, we are going to be joined by our next guest, but I just want to catch up on a couple of comments here just whilst we do. There's a massive amount of irresponsibility amongst parents with regards to the internet and phones and media in general. I harp on about this all the time, but it's absolutely baffling that parents are letting children of Snapchat, an app absolutely primed for grooming, or TikTok, a known massive propaganda machine. TikTok is a particular concern and something we can talk about a little later on. Right, now we are joined by Emma Monaghan. Good morning, Emma. Thanks for joining us. How are you keeping?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Vice President for Welfare of AMLA. Is it? It is, isn't it? Intus Namaclain.
No. Yeah, it is.
What's that, Caroline? Intus. Yes, that's what I said. Is it not? Okay. Anyway, she's talking in my ears, Emma. You're from Letterkenny. You're studying at DCU, and you took part in a protest about college fees. So, why did you do so? And how many turned up? And what was the mood?
Yeah, so basically we were protesting yesterday because the programme for government stated that over the course of the government that they would work to abolish the third level college fees. And we're seeing the complete opposite, where the fees are going up instead. We had a great turnout. We had a lot of student unions from around the country, everywhere from Kerry, Athlone, Dublin themselves. We had a great, great turnout. Opposition parties, students coming out as well, which was great to see, especially during the summer months. So yeah, it went really, really well.
And it seems, certainly from a student's perspective, and I'd imagine many of the parents and guardians that support them, were going in the wrong direction. I think there was a perception, right or wrong, that this was the beginning of the abolition of fees, not that this was a short-term cost-of-living measure, that this was about sort of, right, you know, the government is keen to abolish them altogether, let's start off by cutting them by a grand, etc. And here we are back up at three again. Were you always aware that this was a cost of measure thing, or did you believe it to be a long-term reduction?
I suppose we were always told that it wouldn't be forever. We, at the start, I suppose, when I saw that it was coming in, I think I was in my final year of college, and, you know, we were all saying, oh, this is great, you know, cost of living is so high, but the cost of living hasn't changed. And now to be taking away these supports is just a complete step in the wrong direction.
It's not just about maybe returning this reduction to, you were calling yesterday also for a roadmap to the abolition of fees for third level students. We have heard some opposition parties very keen on that, but of course it's down to the government. They're the ones in power. It's they that can do it and affect any actual change.
Yeah, I suppose it has been promised in the programme for government. So, and it's something that, so Intus Namaclain, USI has been pushing for many, many years. And I suppose, especially just with the timing of this announcement, they're not really giving people much time to budget for the increase. And even yesterday, Minister Lawless was still saying, oh, we don't know if it will be 2,000 or 3,000. There's lots to do before the budget comes out, which I don't think is acceptable for parents or students.
And the students is a big united movement and can potentially, if organised, exercise an awful lot of pressure in relation to this. The summer recess is next week, right? So everything political seems to go quiet and they're off well into the new academic year. What do you think might be next from students' representative organisations? Do you believe that we could see, you know, even greater mass demonstrations?
You'd hope so. I mean, through ourselves in AMLA, we... you know, we have member organisations from all over the country. We often organise different demonstrations, protests, different actions, whether it's sending a letter to a minister about a certain issue. And we work on so many different issues, and there are so many passionate people throughout the country. and so many passionate students who get involved with their local students' union. So if we don't see this decision reversed, then I hope to see more action, yeah.
All right, we'll follow with interest. It affects an awful lot of people in our part of the world, Emma. Thank you very much indeed. That is Emma Monaghan there, Vice President for Welfare of AMLA, which is Iontas na Maclean, in Éireann. And she's from Letterkenny, studying at DCU. A caller says, what do you think about the SPHE programme that's in schools at the moment? I don't know enough about it. I know bits that were in it that I wouldn't be necessarily comfortable with. You know, when you see what's happening with our young people, that there seems to be a lack of awareness that there are people that are prepared to exploit them, that the difference between right and wrong, what your body is for, what it can do, and what you shouldn't do. If we're failing as parents and guardians, there's a need to be a bit in the SPHE program about what is appropriate and inappropriate in terms of what you post online. Now, just to be clear, some of what we were talking about and what meets the threshold for child abuse imagery could be young girls, more likely young girls than boys, taking part in TikTok trends, you know, that on the face of it might seem innocent to some. But it certainly isn't, because it's harvested and repurposed. Something in terms of the SPHE, something has to be... I don't mind if there's something in there personally, if it teaches boys and girls what's right and what's not wrong. What's right and what's wrong in terms of themselves and what they expose. The warning needs to go around the schools, driving this home, the dangers of all this extortion. Yeah, indeed, I would agree. A caller says, would love to hear some of our local Trumpers take on Trump squashing the Epstein case, and he did squash it. Bondi and Patel are his personal sidekicks. They like to pretend they're all about protecting the children. Bondi said she was releasing the files. They were all on her desk. She was going to go through them, and now... apparently, there is nothing there. Right, we're going to be talking about public facilities in Knock with Sally after these. Right, Sally, you wanted to raise the issue of public toilets in Knock. What was your recent experience?
Oh, last Sunday week we went to Knock. I came from the Clare side and I was meeting family from the Donegal side. So we left at 6 o'clock in the morning. We were above the Knock, maybe about a 8:30. And we just wanted to go to Mass and just buy a few things and get prayers and things like that there. So we tried to... there's a car park around at the back, which is the public car park. So we went up there and we needed the toilet, and the toilets were locked at that stage. So we went over then to the parish church over where you buy the cards and all. And we went into the toilets there. Now... They went to clean those ones, but I just thought, for a place with so many people coming to it, the toilets just let it down.
So the ones so by the church are okay, but you can use them maybe.
Yeah.
But the ones at the car park,
exactly.
the ones at the car park.
Oh my God. Yeah, we went to Mass and went into the Basilica and then we came back around and we needed to go to the toilet before we were leaving. So the public toilets were open at this stage. So we looked and said, oh my God, Greg, the smell and the darkness and the dirt was something else. Now, I happened to go into the disability toilet and... my heart just goes out. If somebody has to go in there and use a wheelchair, oh my God, I don't know. They're going to come out with something new, I'll tell you, germs.
And
you
of course, they may be wheeling themselves in there, so the floor need to be really clean, wouldn't it? I know some have bars, but your arms or hands potentially could be in contact with wheels. I can imagine then, am I right? Yeah. It's the floor's dirty
too. Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, geez, there was cobwebs. Excuse my language. But there was cobwebs, there was just pure dirt. I don't know. I was just thinking, and there was bus tours, there was everything, going up on there. Mm. And I just thought, oh God, any vulnerable person. Now, we happen to have hand gel, you know, so we wipe before we use, like.
Mm.
But and it's the old chain toilet, you know the old chain.
Yeah.
But I just thought, oh my God! As I said, I can only speak for the one that I was in. My sister was in another cubicle, and she said they were terrible. Now, if I had a bottle of bleach, Greg, I would have cleaned them myself. But I just thought they were. We came out nearly feeling dirtier than when we were then.
Oh,
if that
no.
makes any sense.
No, it does. It does.
But my heart just went, because you know now, August now, they have the pilgrimage and everything above there.
Mm.
And I thought, right, first of all, for a person, as you say, to wheel in, but even to touch the bars, it's not just fresh dirt, you know?
Mm.
There was cobwebs, the toilet was completely black at the bottom, you know? It was just... I loved Knock and we had a lovely experience, but that just put it off for me then.
And like I know it's a religious destination, okay, but there's also a monetary benefit to the local area. A lot of people go in there. Like I was chatting to students recently, and I think 10,000 of them descended on it. So
of course,
if it's not the responsibility of Knock Shrine themselves, which I'm not quite sure, we've reached out to them. You know, Mayo County Council surely should recognise the importance of Knock and the reputational importance of it and make sure that the toilets are clean and well looked after, especially for the more vulnerable, Sally.
Oh, exactly, because you can imagine, and like even touch everything was just so dark from when you're done, the smell just hit you, and we had to go, do you know what I mean?
Mm.
And I just thought, right... You know, so we did use them, but I just thought, oh my God, you know, there is people going there that are looking for help maybe in tours, and are definitely, you know, there's wheelchair users and there's everything, but those toilets, I'll tell you, would put you off.
Yeah, it's a holy show, isn't it? It's a shame, it's a shame.
Oh, terrible. You know, it's because the religious, and there's thousands of people go there every year. They get plenty, you know, me alone, I'm in only one shop, and I spent, between myself and my sister, we spent over €200.
Yeah.
You know, on little relics and all, and I just thought, can they not even do, keep the public toilets clean?
I wonder are any councils doing it right, because you know obviously especially at this time of year, Sally, here in Donegal, our main tourist attractions, it's a perennial problem. Just seems to be maintenance is the issue. We can provide good facilities, but we don't seem to be able to come up with a proper maintenance plan.
A decent toilet, that's what I was saying, and I said to my husband, I said, I would even volunteer and go and clean them.
Yeah.
But then you see, who's fucking, you know, you're treading on somebody's feet then, God bless, Greg, they really, and I don't know who's responsible, I didn't know who to complain to.
Yeah.
So I just thought, right, okay, maybe I would say it to your show,
No, and, listen, we do appreciate it, and we're trying to ascertain that ourselves and get a statement, because it's an incredibly busy part of the world, isn't it?
Yeah.
And
I know, maybe am I just being a moan?
Not at all.
Or has other
not
people experienced it? And do you know, when I go from Donegal to home, there's only certain places now that I go to toilets, because some of them are just, public toilets, and they're signed on the back to say that they've just cleaned them.
Yeah.
Do you know?
And yeah, but sometimes I see those signs, and I sometimes think, did someone just sign their name and walk in and walk out?
Signed it and didn't, exactly. Yeah. They had to have, Greg.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's the floors are dirty, the toilets are, there's toilet paper lying everywhere, and I just thought, I work in healthcare, so, I would never say anything unless I'd done it.
Mm.
But in there, they're just ticking a box, and, nobody's held accountable.
Yeah, I know. I hear what you're saying. Well, let's see what other listeners' experiences are, Sally. It's a very valid point, and we appreciate you sharing it with us, all right? And you're not moaning. You're right in what you're saying. Yeah. We have to talk about these things. Yeah. All right. Okay. Thanks, Sally. That's Sally there. If you experience same, 086 60 25,000. As I say, these stories are often not exclusive to our county. You know, you do see it elsewhere around the country as well. Right. People have no home. Some of those who do have them falling down around their ears. Third world healthcare, huge price increases everywhere. And the government want praise for spending millions on high-speed broadband. Nice to see they have got their priorities right. Well, I just let him at it, to be honest with you. And I don't mean that in any way disrespectful. Great, all this broadband, surely. Give it a few years and the costs of having it will be like the ESB. The bills will be up. The only one thing about broadband that does seem to actually be proper competition there, if you know what I mean. Sometimes you feel there's a lack of competition in certain markets, but I sometimes get the impression, or often do, that you can shop around, you can get good value broadband. But anyway, the public toilets in Rathmullen need attention badly. We need to keep them looking well for visitors. And I can't emphasise enough how important it is we do those things now in this day and age. Because if you go back 20 years ago, you know, someone went to, say, Rathmullen and had a bad experience in the toilets. That was it, right? But now people can take pictures, they can put it on social media, they can put it on TripAdvisor, they can put it on Google reviews. Rathmullen, lovely, but do not go near the toilets, they're rank. Let's just say they put that review up. People are planning their trips and they go, you know what, I might need to go to the toilet. I've got, you know, a bladder issue or a bowel issue and I'm not going there. It's so important in this day and age that the basic facilities are... I mean, how many times have you gone into a lovely restaurant or bar and you're having a nice experience and you go into the toilets and they're absolutely mank and you walk out with a negative feeling about that venue? Well, think about that on a countywide basis. Is that what we're allowing ourselves to happen? I was shocked to hear yesterday that residents group is going to be responsible for fallen trees in their estate. Surely this has huge implications for residents associations. I, for one, as a member of a residents association, will be resigning at my next meeting. Well, I would love to speak to some members of residents associations. My understanding is the council encourages, you know, the plantation of trees and then when it comes to the maintenance, it's the responsibility of the residents. If it is part of planning that trees are put into situ, surely then you can't, or can you? Surely then you can't sort of say, well, it's your problem now. We made you put them in there, but it's not our problem, it's your problem. So if you've heard about that and you want to get involved in the conversation, we're talking about it in the next hour. The usual number, WhatsApp or text, 086 60 25,000. OK, stay where you are because we're going to bring you now the very latest news and the obituary notices.